Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad you're with us today. A lot to get to. Recruiting stuff continues to be the dominant topic of the day, of the week, really. And I think that'll continue because IU's so much activity right now. Two scholarships open in 2019. Will those fill? Will they hold one? How will they fill them? Will it come from a 2019 player like a Lester Quinones or maybe a surprise get by of a Trendon Watford or something of that nature? But also coming out of the weekend, we're hearing more and more about the underclassmen now, and they're recruiting. So I feel like we're kind of on recruiting overload right now. So much information, so many scholarship offers. Once the coaches got done evaluating prospects over the weekend, they've been on the road Monday, Tuesday. I know there's some visits scheduled for today that we'll talk about. And even on Wednesday, Archie Miller is supposed to make a visit with Lester Quinones, which will be, I would think, a big meeting because his decision coming up on May 10th, he's taken all of his official visits that he's got scheduled. And so any chance to get in front of a key prospect like that, that close to the decision date, I would think is a positive for that program. So a lot to get to. Again, a lot of recruiting stuff at this time of year, and we'll keep you updated on the very latest with it. Let's take a look at the guest lineup for our Wednesday. Get this, May 1st show. Wednesday, May 1st show. Derby coming up on Saturday. Oaks coming up on Friday. We don't talk a lot of Derby or Oaks or horse racing on this program. We might talk a little on Thursday and get some predictions, but and we won't have a show Friday because of some coverage, some special coverage from the track. But hard to believe it's May, and it is a neat time, even for Southern Indiana, that's drawn into the Derby festivities that really start earlier in the week and really get going, I guess, later today, tonight, and tomorrow with get-togethers and festivities. And, of course, Thurby has now become a big deal, Thursday races. At Churchill Downs, but fun to be part of. I've been to it a couple times. Don't know that I would go back. Fun to be part of for our area, though. And again, it's coming up this weekend, which is kind of something exciting to help get you through the week as well. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today. First segment, our Hoosier headlines. We'll have a number of things to cover. I've tried to group a lot of recruiting stuff by offers and by visits each day this week to kind of, for those of you that think, gosh, you're mentioning a lot of different names from a lot of different places, help us kind of recap all that. We're going to do that here in the first segment. I've got a layout for you of the very latest, at least that I could find and kind of put together on a little cheat sheet to pass along. We'll do that. Also, last night, big baseball game, Providence and Silver Creek battling, and two really good teams in the area, both having very, very solid years. We'll tell you some details about that game as well as who the winner was last night. And also Clifton Moore, IU transfer. He has a new home, and we'll tell you who that is as well, coming up here just a few minutes from now in this segment. That's what we'll do in segment one, the Hoosier headline. Segment two, we'll be joined by Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. And if Jeff is caught up on an interview, we'll have Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com with us. So one of the two will be with us to talk IU basketball. Of course, Jeff was in Atlanta at the Nike EYBL. We'll obviously catch up with him a lot on that and some of these recruiting headlines
that we're talking about in the first segment as well. Later in the program, Craig Pearson, he's the sports editor at the News and Tribune, and he's with us on Wednesdays as we talk through some local sports headlines today. We've got high school baseball in full effect. Softball state tournament pairings came out a few days ago, and a lot of alumni of some of our local high school baseball programs, which is no surprise. We've come to almost expect this each year, but a lot of alumni having some good college baseball seasons at all different levels of the game, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Also, I know Craig has been getting up early. He's been putting in some early morning hours at the Churchill, watching some of the horses work in the morning hours, which is a really cool thing to do. And I don't know, he's not from the area originally, so we'll have to find out if this is his first opportunity to really fully take part in some Derby Week festivities or not, but we'll catch up with him on that as well when he joins us a little bit later in the show. That's the lineup presented each day by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Kind of a recap of things from a recruiting perspective. I know the in-state guys that we talk about, it's pretty easy to keep track of. You get to know their name, you know their school, you feel like you know them probably better than what you do and what you've seen them. But when it gets to out-of-state guys, especially early on when there's names bouncing all over the place and scholarship offers going here and there and coaches watching prospects at these AAU and shoe circuit games, and then the coaches hit the road this week and visit some of these prospects, really hard to keep up with. So just to kind of summarize, and I may be missing some stuff here, but scholarship offers going back to the weekend to today, Trey Galloway, obviously in-state player at Culver Academies, IU and Purdue and Notre Dame, some of the early schools that are in on him. Both of those others had offered IU kind of the latter school to the table as far as a scholarship offer goes, but a very well-rounded player, good shooter. Yesterday you heard Mike Pegram talk about one of his kind of unheralded areas of his game that makes him a great prospect is his ability to guard people. He's a good defensive player as well. He got a scholarship offer in an in-home visit on Monday. Obviously, everybody from proximity and seeing him play, Anthony Lill at Bloomington South, finally gets an IU offer on Monday during an in-home visit. He's going to have some other schools as well in with him this week. Xavier visited on Tuesday, and Northwestern, Big Ten rival of IU, they're expected to be in Bloomington to visit with Leo and his family today as well. Also, an out-of-state player with an offer here recently, Matthew Cross, Woodstock Academy, Connecticut. He was offered over the weekend in some communication with the coaches, and I think the coaches are expected to see him here very soon. We'll tell you about that coming up when we talk about some visits and where the coaches have been at. So, by my calculations, three new players over the weekend and Monday total offered scholarships. Then Dawson Garcia yesterday, he's a big man, a new name to me, a new name that I've mentioned here on the show. He's from Prior Lakes, Minnesota. He was visited by the staff and received a scholarship offer on Tuesday. So yesterday, keep in mind, anytime you hear of a player from Minnesota, from that part of the country, probably a great guess that Tom Ostrom, the associate head coach to Archie Miller, is involved with that. That's where he's from. Very strong connections back to that state. Lots of connections to high school coaches and to some of the travel programs that are based out of Minnesota. And Minnesota really produces, it may not seem like it, you may not think of it at first glance, but they really do produce a number of Division I players that come out of there. And so Indiana getting involved early with a player, Dawson Garcia, who gets a scholarship offer yesterday. Also on Tuesday, Caleb Love, he's from Christian Brothers Prep Academy in St. Louis. He received a visit from IU as well, and as Mike Pegram said yesterday, he fully thinks that Caleb Love probably the top target not only of IU in that 2020 class right now, but of a lot of other high major schools as well. Today, more visits by Archie Miller and the IU staff. I know IU coaches expected in some form or fashion to visit with Matthew Cross of Woodstock Academy in Connecticut, who received a scholarship offer over the weekend. Also, coaches expected at Archbishop Stepanak in New York, to see R.J. Davis, a point guard in the 2020 class. And there are a number of big schools expected at Stepanak's Open Gym today because they've got a number of talented players in addition to R.J. Davis on their roster. Kansas, Notre Dame, Northwestern, Georgetown, and others expected to join Indiana today to see, again, R.J. Davis, a New York point guard in the 2020 class. Even tomorrow, the visits will continue. What we know at this point is that Archie Miller is scheduled to visit with Lester Quinones. He should be a very familiar name now at this point in the 2019 class, so he's getting ready to graduate. He's already played his senior year of high school basketball. Make his decision on May 10th. That's the decision day. He's taken four official visits. That's all that it's believed he's going to take, and now it's just a matter of figuring out where he wants to go. One other side note on Lester, he put a tweet out yesterday. He's originally from Brentwood, Tennessee, and then I guess played his senior year, I think is the only year he missed at Brentwood, but played his senior year at IMG down in Florida, kind of leaving early to go the prep school, the elite high school route for his final year. He put a tweet out about being disappointed with his coaches at Brentwood and some of the athletic personnel at Brentwood because I guess in preparation for his decision on May 10th, he was hoping to go back to his community, to his high school where he played 3 years and make his college announcement, I guess, in the gym. I don't know that he said that, but at the school, presumably in the gym, and he was told no. I probably see the high school point coach's point as well. If you leave the program to go elsewhere, probably should make your decision there. But you understand the kid as well wanting to go back to the community where he was raised and the community that he played a lot of years of basketball. So an interesting situation there. Also interesting that Lester would go to social media with it, but that's where we're at in society today. So he's still looking, he says, for an exact way, an exact place that he's going to make that announcement on May 10th. But from all indications from Lester Quinones, it looks like we won't know. He's planning an announcement that's a public-type announcement where very likely we will not know unless something leaks out before then until he makes that announcement from wherever the announcement is actually end up being staged. But it sounds like that announcement will be public and may go all the way to the wire on May 10th as far as having to wait and see exactly what he says in that public announcement. Also, another Hoosier headline, Clifton Moore is one of the players that entered the transfer portal. He has now found his new home. He will play at LaSalle, according to Jeff Goodman of Stadium. You'll remember that Jake Forrester, another player that left in the transfer portal about a week ago or so, declared that he would play at Temple next season as well. High school baseball last night, Providence wins a big rivalry game against Silver Creek, 6-2, the final score in that game. The winning pitcher for Providence, Christian Graff, the losing pitcher, Holden Grower, who is actually an IU baseball commit, and Silver Creek falls to 11-5 with the loss. Providence is now 10-3 on the year. I know Jeffersonville was also in action last night. They had no problems downing Clarksville in a big way. New Albany, who I think's won like 7 or 8 in a row, they were able to get past North Harrison easily last night. So a lot of local teams gearing up for a sectional coming up here later this month now that we're in May. Big game Thursday night in high school baseball as well, Providence and New Albany. I believe that game is scheduled for Mount Tabor Field in New Albany. That should be a fun one. Two teams playing some really good baseball right now. We will not have that because of on the radio because of some conflicts with Derby Week stuff. But I am glad to tell you that we're scheduled to do the Hoosier Hills Conference tournament next week following Derby. And those festivities will have a first-round game on Monday, semifinal game on Wednesday, and we're slated to do the championship game next Friday as well, which should be fun because you've got Jeffersonville, New Albany, and Floyd Central all in that Hoosier Hills Conference tournament. It's kind of an early look, an early preview of the potential sectional field. Obviously, Columbus East is in the conference but not in the sectional, but they're very good as well. They're probably one of the favorites to come out of one side of that bracket as well. So we'll follow the local teams next week with three high school baseball games in a week for you and kind of ramp our coverage up heading into postseason baseball. That's when we do the 4A sectional. And then, of course, we follow the local winners out of the sectional beyond that to the regional. We hope semi-state and even state championship. We've had some great fun following local baseball teams here since we've been doing the games the last 5 or 6 years. We've had a lot of success come out of Clark and Floyd counties with the high school sports scene, really, in general. Those are the headlines each day on the program, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. That'll wrap up segment one as well. We'll head to a commercial break. I think we've got Jeff Rabjohns. It's either going to be Jeff or Ken Bykoff. One of the two is with us coming up then, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. He joins us Wednesdays to talk IU basketball. And, of course, this time of year, lots and lots of recruiting. Jeff was at the Nike EYBL in Atlanta over the weekend. So plenty of recruiting stuff to get to. I kind of gave the best recap I could of who's been offered, where the coaches have been, what's going on since the weekend. And we'll get to all that in a moment. But first, I left a major headline off in the first segment, and that's where I want to start with Jeff today. IU announced yesterday that there will be beer and wine sales at football games this fall. That's a major announcement from IU and for the football games, kind of, I believe, as a test. And it's something that we've seen other Big Ten schools recently announcing that they're going to try it out at football games as well. And it's kind of become more and more commonplace at some conferences and at some schools across the country.
Yeah, it has. And I think it, you know, I think it makes sense because you have tailgating going on anyway. It's not like people aren't drinking. And what studies have shown is that if you actually sell at least beer and wine in the stadium, it actually reduces the amount of binge drinking that occurs, where people just try to get so hammered that they kind of, quote, keep their buzz throughout much of the game. And so this notion that, well, you know, we need to be separate from alcohol, it's always been silly because anybody who's been to a college football game knows, you know, tailgating is a big party. And, you know, IU is known for, you know, putting the party on correctly. I mean, I think we've all seen those tailgates. We've never lost a tailgate. Anybody who's been to Wisconsin, you know, they really do it upright. So does, you know, Ohio State, Michigan. And then you get down south. Oh, I remember the first time I went to Ole Miss. I was like, whoa. Is this Mardi Gras or a football game? So I think it makes a lot of sense to just go ahead and like have alcohol in the venue. It reduces the binge drinking. Early studies show that it reduces binge drinking. And, you know, people sometimes just like to sit there and have a beer while they watch a football game. You know, and there's nothing wrong with it. And it's also a revenue stream. So I think it's one of those things that just, you know, it makes complete sense.
Jeff, do we see football attendance? I know it has a lot can do with how the start the team gets off to and the excitement building up to the season, but does something like this allow us to see an increase in football attendance this year, you think, even if it's just a slight increase?
Yeah, I think it gives you the chance to allow that to happen, certainly. Because especially at IU where – you have people who go to the tailgate. You know, IU is one of those schools, and they're not alone, but they're the one that we cover, we pay attention to. So we're talking about IU. They get people to the stadium. They struggle sometimes to get people into the stadium. We've all seen it. Tailgates going on while the game started. So, yeah, I think this gives you a chance to help move things forward. I think it gives you a chance to encourage people to come to the game and then come on into the game. And that's a positive thing because football revenue from attendance is the one area at any big university, because of the size of the stadium, where a potential revenue increase is larger than anything else. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think it gives IU a chance to, you know, to have some attendance increases. And then that would really help IU because you look at schools like Michigan, Ohio State, they make more, they generate more revenue, from one home football game than IU does from an entire home football season. And that's because of attendance inside the stadium. But even that said, you know, if IU can increase football attendance consistently, even let's say it just goes up 5-6% per year over the course of 5 years, you know, that can be several million dollars, which in a small budget athletic department can be pretty significant. So yeah, I think it's a real positive for IU.
While we're talking about football, big commit earlier in the week for Tom Allen and crew with the player from, help me with his name, from Detroit King.
Oh, they have the wide receiver, yeah. I mean, that's a big-time commit because you're talking about a four-star wide receiver, a guy who has all kinds of, athletic ability. He's really got really good ball skills, you know, and the ball's in the air. He knows how to go up and get it. And some guys have athletic ability, but, you know, they can't necessarily go up and get the ball like some other guys can. And I think the fact that, you know, he's got all those talents to him, make it pretty significant. Obviously we're talking about Rashawn Williams from up in Detroit. And, you know, I mean, he had a lot of offers. Cincinnati, Syracuse, West Virginia, Ohio State, Michigan State, others. You know, he had a lot of offers. And he's 6'1", 195. And just, you know, he has incredible burst coming out of his stance. He's got really good precision in his routes. He knows how to get separation. I think he's going to be a really, really big get for IU football.
Jeff RabjohnSpeaks.com is my guest. Jeff, you spent the weekend in Atlanta. You were tracking a lot of these kids that we're reading about now that scholarship offers have went out to. The IU coaches have been very busy since then, making visits. It started Monday with a couple of offers to some in-state players, and then the travels have expanded as the week has went on. Looks like some activity Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and even Thursday, tomorrow, that we're aware of from a recruiting perspective with Archie Miller and the staff getting out and hitting it. This is a really interesting period. I like the spring because the coaches can evaluate on Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And then immediately after that, this next week, they can get with those players, they can conduct in-home visits, they can see them play and meet with their high school coaches in that environment as well. And it's kind of a good process. There's some connectivity to it, and I just like the feel of it. I think that it allows coaches to go out and make evaluations and then kind of get to know the player, if they don't already, in another way, on a more personal way with family and high school coaches involved.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you phrased that really, really well. Obviously, with Indiana, I think we've seen the players that they liked, even guys that they liked ahead of time, that they were going to kind of make this weekend kind of like, your final exam, if you will. That's probably putting in too harsh of terms. But generally speaking, that's kind of the idea, like with an Anthony Leo from Bloomington South and a Trey Galloway from Culver Academies. You know, they liked them. They'd seen them a lot. Okay, let's go to the spring evaluation period. Let's watch him. Let's make sure we think what we think, and then we'll go see him and make decisions. And, you know, those guys both played well enough. They got offers. And obviously with those two, there's a pretty healthy body work there too, if you will. These in-state kids that the coaches have seen quite a bit. And then there's some other guys, you know, that they've seen, I would say, you know, probably not that volume, but they've seen a number of times. And they then went out and visited and offered, like a Dawson Garcia, the 6'11", 5-star forward who they offered last night on a visit to him up in Prior Lake, Minnesota. And those are the kind of things that happen this time of year. But it does actually this is the one thing about recruiting timing-wise that really I think is pretty straightforward. And makes a lot of sense. You have an extended weekend, a long weekend to watch players. Then you get 4 days and you go out and see and visit with whoever you want to visit with. And sometimes it's about offers. Sometimes it's about, hey, I just saw you. I want to get to know you. That was the case with John Beilein from Michigan and Trey Galloway. Beilein had not seen Trey Galloway play until this weekend, watched him, was impressed, did an in-home visit, basically saying, hey, you know, I just watched you, but I liked what I saw. I'm the head coach. We're going to start recruiting you. We're going to get this process rolling. So there's different levels of how it works. But, yeah, that's how these kind of periods that are run back-to-back, you know, evaluation period, watch, contact period, you can go out and talk to them.
This is the only one like this, right? The summer, obviously, there is more opportunities than just one period between the shoe period, is what I call it, for lack of better terms, where the coaches will be able to see a weekend period and then the camps coming up. This is the only period set up, am I right, where you can go straight from evaluation to the visits and to the high schools?
Actually, basically, yes. There have been some the reason I hesitated, there's been some confusion about some of the things in June, but I think those questions have been answered. So yes, basically, this is the only time when you go right from evaluation to recruiting period, and part of that is because kids are in school. And one of the things about being able to see players off campus is that you can go see them a certain period of time when they're at their high schools. And one thing, just kind of like a general like housekeeping thing, a lot of times people see the word in-home visit this time of year. Only about a third of these are actually really in-home visit. Most of these actually happen at a player's school, especially the stuff that happens like, you know, right after noon. Like when Indiana went up to visit Trey Galloway. That was like 2:30 in the afternoon at school. You know, they didn't go to Galloway's home because Trey was getting ready to. He got out of school, did the visit with Archie Miller and Tom Ostrom, got the IU offer, and then went to his 4 o'clock lifting session. So that's why you can do this, is because college coaches aren't allowed to go visit kids at their school. So because they're still in school, that allows for a lot more visits to happen.
Got it. Jeff Rabjohns, Peaks.com, with us. A lot of people, I think, excited to see IU finally extend a scholarship offer to Anthony Leal. And likewise, Trey Galloway. You just mentioned Michigan potentially getting involved. We already know that Purdue, Notre Dame, and others had previously been involved with Trey Galloway. And a number of schools, too, with Anthony Leal. But what's your recap, your thoughts of those offers going out and where IU might stand with both of those guys at this point of the process?
Well, I think both offers make a lot of sense as you look at building a program. I think one thing people need to keep in mind is these are guys who are going to be, you know, impact players down the road. Do not think freshman impact. And I know because IU struggled for a few years in a row, not making the NCAA tournament and so forth, sometimes people are getting really, really, really caught up in freshman impact. If they're not going to help IU get to the tournament as freshmen, oh, my God, what are we doing recruiting those kind of players? Well, to get good and stay good, you've got to get guys who help you as juniors and seniors who are going to be four-year players. And I think if you're going to think in terms of how Villanova built its program, how Wisconsin under Bo Ryan built sustainable things, even how Virginia did it with the way they've gotten really, really good. I think these are the kind of offers that make a lot of sense. They're both in-state kids. They're both kids who understand what IU basketball is all about, especially Anthony Leal, who literally could walk from his house to Assembly Hall if he so chose. They understand what the program means to the state. They understand what the program means to the fans. And it's a big deal for them to have a chance to play there. So I think when you can get, you know, national top 150 guys from in-state who really understand what IU basketball means, you go get those guys. Now, those guys are not the level of player that, you know, you need to be, you know, you can't have four guys who are, you know, ranked 80 to 150. You need some more higher level guys. You need a Dawson Garcia. You need a Trace Jackson Davis. You need some talent like that. But these Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway, those are the kind of guys who are building blocks for the program who certainly help you quite a bit moving forward.
talking with Jeff Rabjohn, Pigs.com. He's with us Wednesdays as we talk IU basketball. The coaches have been on the road consistently this week. In fact, today coaches are going to be visiting with Matthew Cross and also the Archbishop Stepanak in New York, their open gym. They've got a point guard, R.J. Davis, that IU has expressed interest in. In fact, there's a lot of big schools that are expected to be there today. Maybe a little on Matthew Cross. He's a player you got to see over the weekend that actually got a scholarship offer over the weekend, somebody that I know has turned the heads of the IU coaches.
Yeah, I really like Cross. He's about 6'8". He's a guy who can do a lot of different things. He's got the ability to what really jumps out to me watching him in person is he's 6'8". He's got a really solid body. He's got a solid lower base. He can go inside. He's got really good shoulders. And but the biggest thing is he knows he can knock down threes. And he's really a nice three-point shooter. And he knows how to move on the outside to get the ball and get the catch and make and you know create the space to get the shot. and he's got a really nice high release. He's a guy who you could see really, really fitting in well at the Big Ten because of his body and because of his skill set. He averaged 22 points a game. And if you can average 22 points a game for a full session on the Nike UIBL circuit, you can play. And he also averaged like nearly 7 rebounds, or I think it was 6.5 rebounds, and then 2 or 3 assists per game. So he knows how to play the whole game. But the biggest thing is he adds he adds a lot of size and three-point shooting, and that's what stands out the most. And I know some people have looked up his stats, and they go, oh, you know, his three-point percentages aren't great. You know, I get that. I'll be honest, I really don't care. And I know it's going to sound silly, but the form at this stage is a lot more important than just percentages. There's a lot of kids who make high school shots, and high school shots don't hold up in the Big Ten. And this guy's got a college-type shot. And if you take away one game where his team got behind and they were chasing there in his last game, he went 1-for-10. If you take that off, his percentages are fine. But the biggest thing is the form, the setup, the high release, that's the kind of shot that holds up in the Big Ten. And, you know, Matt Cross could play for me any day, no doubt about it.
I tell you what, we've talked about a number of new names in addition to Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal that have either received scholarship offers or that IU is watching very intently over the weekend, whether it was in Atlanta where you were at or Dallas where the Adidas teams were at. You see this stuff a lot. You are a professional when it comes to the recruiting periods and being on the road, and we always joke about it. Really, it brings out a Jeff Rabjohns that puts in 15-plus hour days and interviews a record number of potential prospects is just kind of where you do some of your great work. Is there a player or two that really caught your eye this weekend? That you noticed IU coaches were also watching someone that even if it's a name that we've talked about or haven't talked about yet, that you very likely think could be kind of a front running type prospect for this IU team that stood out to you.
Yeah, a couple guys. I would say, I don't know if I would say one, number one, but one definitely was R.J. Davis. He's a point guard for the New York Rens AAU program. And you talk about a guy who plays the position and does about everything you want that point guard to do and does it well. That's R.J. Davis. He's got really good speed, really good quickness, can get into the lane and pass out, can move side to side and pass in to cutters or post player. He's got a teammate named Jonathan Kuminga, who is a top 5 guy nationally, a guy who, barring the unforeseen, is going to be an NBA player. And you're talking about a guy who really helps his stud get the ball where he wants it. R.J. Davis was terrific at that. He was really composed under pressure with a live dribble, really good vision at speed. He's the guy I really like. And IU is going to go talk to him at some point either this week or later. I think they want to do it this week. But R.J. Davis certainly jumped out to me with the way he played. And IU did watch him down there. I don't know exactly what they think of him, but I really thought a lot of R.J. Davis. And I came away thinking, man, if you're looking at, you know, possibly adding a point guard in 2020, I would seriously think about R.J. Davis. And the other guy who kind of jumped out a lot was Nigel Pack, a kid from Lawrence Central here in Indianapolis, a guy who had a terrific junior season, was one of the reasons they were a top 10 team for much of the year. He went down to Atlanta and had a really good four-game stretch. He shot it extremely well. The biggest thing was he showed he could play at speed against size and length. I mean, they had a game against the Boo Williams AU program that featured 4 5-stars and had 7'1" and 6'10" on the front line. And Nigel Pack outplayed 5-star Zion Harmon, finished with 22 points. Indy Heat won the game. Pack showed that he, even though he's listed as 6 foot, probably only about 5'10". That's the reason there are questions about Nigel Pack. Some schools just say, not too sure about a 5'10 guy at the high major level. But, you know, he played well enough to where I think some schools are at least going to take a look. Whether they offer or not, I don't know. But Nigel Pack was another one of those guys. So two guys who kind of like were a little bit off the radar who really got my attention. I want to put those guys up there. R.J. Davis, point guard from New York, and Nigel Pack, point guard from Indianapolis.
Jeff Rabjohns, Peaks.com, giving us all kind of good stuff from over the weekend. I want to turn, as we close things out here, I want to turn to the 2019 class, Lester Quinones, and I may mispronounce his name, so if I am, you can correct me. I've heard it said a many different ways, but I know Archie Miller is expected to visit with him on Thursday as the recruiting trails continue for the IU coaches. He's scheduled to make his decision on May 10th. He's made all the visits that we're aware he's going to make. Indiana has those 2 scholarships open potentially for immediate players that are graduating or graduate transfers or however they could be filled. So a lot of interest to see what IU does with these scholarships. Do they pocket one? Do they find players to fill both of them? And Lester seems to be a real candidate potentially for one of them. What do you make of Archie getting a visit, getting a chance to see him on his home turf before he makes his decision? And where really do you think IU stands in the race with the other schools?
Yeah, I think right now this is mainly Memphis, Indiana at the top, with a couple other schools there still certainly in the mix, but sort of, you know, maybe not exactly on the lead lap, if you will. You know, how much of a chance does Indiana really have? You know, they did a phenomenal job in coming from behind. Because at one point in time, Memphis, LSU, and Maryland were pretty much the 3 to beat with him. And they were the 3 that had run away from everybody else. And IU did a really good job. They went down to see him down at IMG. I spent time with him. Obviously, Bruiser, Flint, IU's just a coach. Has some connections that certainly helped that situation, helped IU get involved. And I think IU has some chance here, but I still think Memphis is the team to beat. And that doesn't mean to get beat. It doesn't mean that somebody's not going to come from behind in the final week here, or 10 days, as we're looking at the May 10th announcement. But, you know, I'd be disingenuous. I'd be doing your listeners a disservice if I didn't just to tell you, you know, there's a lot of chatter behind the scenes, and there has been for a while about Memphis. So Memphis is the team to beat. Again, that doesn't mean they can't get beat. That doesn't mean IU won't win this in the end. It's definitely a possibility. But you know, to be blunt, to be honest, you know, Memphis is the team to beat. But that said, if your head coach is going to get a visit, basically a week before announcement date, you are getting a real look. And then that's the thing I try to tell people on the board the other day. And it's like, despite all this chatter out there, all these predictions, you know, IU is getting a real look. And yet, a lot of people are predicting Memphis right now. Yeah, I get that. But IU is getting a real look. And when you're getting a real look, that means you got a chance. And there are some things that went really well in the visit, the official visit, that had staying power. And that means, you know, a lot of kids go on visits and, like, you know, the next day it's, oh, this is awesome, that's great. And 5 days later, they kind of forgot everything. Staying power means things that actually, you know, stay with you that you're thinking about 5 days later. So, and there are some things with Lester that that have had staying power, and IU is just going to get a real look. So I would say Memphis is probably at least, you know, the team to beat, you know. But it's only like, I don't know, you know, put it in percentages, 60% maybe, you know. So, you know, it's possible IU could come from behind and win this one. It's definitely worth paying attention to.
Jeff,
it certainly is that. And he's good enough. And that's the other thing. He can come in and have impacts. He can make shots.
Jeff, if IU does whiff on Lester, where could they turn? I know Trendon Watford's still out there, but that seems to be a similar situation that, yes, IU may have made up some ground, and there have been some unknowns with Trendon Watford's recruitment, with the LSU situation and some other things that have popped up. But it still seems like IU would be a surprise to land Trendon Watford as well, a lot like what you're saying with Lester Quinones. That said, where could IU turn for these one or two scholarships to fill in 2019?
Yeah, by the way, you're being very diplomatic on the Trendon Watford situation. I would be truly stunned if he goes anywhere other than LSU. I'll just be honest with you. So I don't know, from an IU perspective, I don't know. You know, you can keep paying attention to it if you want to, but I just don't. Please don't be stunned if, you know, this does not go IU's way. In fact, be stunned if it's anything other than he sticks south and makes his own path as he wanted to do 18 months ago. But anyway, back to, you know, IU. You know, there are a couple grad transfer options out there that they're taking a look at. It's one of those things. The question remains, since IU doesn't do special admits, players have to organically get accepted to a grad school. So are these guys that IU, the university, I mean, would admit? I don't know. I mean, not everybody who's a great basketball player is a Mensa candidate. Let's just be honest. Doesn't make anybody good or bad. You know, lots of people get B's and C's, not A's and B's. Just part of life. But it really reduces the pool of talent for IU. So there's a couple players that they're looking at. You know, can these guys get admitted? I don't know. If they can't get admitted, it's kind of like a non-starter anyway. So that's why I've been cautious not to throw out names, because if this might not go anywhere. But IU's going to continue to look. The one thing I get the vibe they're not going to do is they're not going to add somebody just to add somebody. Meaning, you remember a few years ago when IU was lacking in size, and they just grabbed Jeremiah April and Tim Priller. And, you know, it looked good on paper, 6'10", 7 foot. Team needs size. Look what they just added. Well, it turned out there was zero impact. So one thing Archie Miller wants to be careful to do is not grab somebody just to grab a body. If you got to go into a year with only 11 scholarships, well, you're probably really only going to play 8-9 guys anyway. So it's not like it's a huge thing. I mean, Villanova, for several years, didn't fill all 13. There are college coaches out there who believe 11 is enough. I mean, I was talking to one over the weekend down in Atlanta, and he basically said, I wish they would reduce it to 11 because I can't keep 13 people happy, because you always had – everybody has an ego. Everybody was a stud on their high school team. And if I tell somebody basically, you're going to practice and you're not going to play, that kid's ticked off in September, and I got to deal with it all year. Now, that's not to say that IU definitely will just stay where they are, but it's possible. And the other thing is, I think that the other thing that's kind of in play as far as what do you do with these two that are open, you know, the player if you take somebody, I think, you know, I think Archie's going to stick to his guns on. He's not going to take a body just to take a body. And part of that also comes into play. It's like, okay, can you get guys next year who would be better than somebody you'd bring in 2019 and maybe redshirt or something? So, yeah, I think there are more 2020 options out there emerging for IU. R.J. Davis, Dawson Garcia, Zach Loveday, players, out-of-state players we've discussed. And some people always ask this, could somebody reclass in 2019? Anthony Leal could, because he's an exceptional student. Right now there's no plan to do so, and I don't think that makes any sense, because he's not ready to play in the Big Ten. And all you would be doing is basically having him do a redshirt year. And I don't know that that helps him. I don't know that that helps IU. I don't know if it does anything. If there was a guy out there who was a stud, you know, Yeah, okay. You know, maybe it makes sense. But I don't think it necessarily is necessary in that situation, especially since Leal, if he were to commit to IU, obviously we're talking in hypothetical terms here, if he were to commit to IU, he's right there. You know, I mean, he could spend as much time at Cook Hall if he wanted to. So, but I think that's kind of how they're going to play this out. There are a couple guys out there who have reclassified. You know, IU's kind of poked around a little bit. I don't know if there's anything that's going to happen with the top tier guys. But anyway, that's generally the lay of the land as it sits right now, as far as the open scholarships and how it may work out between 2019-2020.
Jeff Rapp, JohnSpeaks.com. All sorts of good stuff today. Jeff, I'm sure you enjoyed your travels to Atlanta. Rest up. More stuff coming in June, which is sure going to be different this year, but we'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good, my friend. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Jeff Rapp, JohnSpeaks.com. Always with us Wednesdays. Lots of recruiting stuff going on, and he's on top of every bit of it. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Craig Pearson. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll talk some local sports headlines next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Wednesday program. Final segment, Craig Pearson, sports editor at the News and Tribune, is with us. Don't forget, a lot of what Craig and I talk about each Wednesday, you can read about on the News and Tribune or in the News and Tribune at newsandtribune.com/sports. Craig, before we get into some of our local stuff, you're from the Terre Haute area. You're down here for a number of months now as the sports editor of the News and Tribune. So I feel comfortable that you've got yourself familiar with our Southern Indiana schools and the coaches and all the things that are important for a sports editor to do. But this week is your first opportunity to get over to the track, to get over to Churchill Downs and see some of the morning work and kind of get a feel for the lay of the horse racing land. We don't talk a lot about it on the show, but it is a neat week to be part of. And I know you've been over to the track a couple mornings so far this week.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Matt, it's been a treat. You know, it's an early morning to get over there and see the Derby horses, you know, working, getting their workouts in. And, you know, my horse racing knowledge, you know, going into this was almost zero, you know, very limited. So it's been fun to challenge myself and get to know, you know, just do a lot of reading and a lot of observing over there and trying to find my way and find my way around the backside and the stables and everything else. And we have a correspondent named Jesse Oswald. She's does a wonderful job for us. So, you know, check out her work this week. She's going to have a handicapping story in tomorrow's paper to, you know, give you an idea on who to make some wagers on, that sort of thing. But, you know, it's a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to, you know, continuing to learn more about that over the next few years.
Well, I expect that since you spent a couple mornings over there now, you can give us your Derby pick.
I'm kind of torn. I like there's one called Tacitus. I like him a lot. He's a really pretty gray horse, and he looks really strong out there. So I may go with him. I'm not sure, though, 100%.
I understand. Well, we'll see what happens, and a lot of fun to experience that, especially over there in the morning. Beautiful stuff, beautiful scenery. Just if you've never done that, Don at the Downs or been able to get on the backside, it's a lot of fun. Craig, we've got baseball going on, softball going on, spring sports going on,
right.
And it's hard to believe it's May 1st. The high school sports season is going to wrap up here before we know it. Last night, Providence beat Silver Creek in a big local baseball game, and Thursday night we've got Providence and New Albany in a big local baseball game. So some fun stuff.
Everybody's playing really well right now from what, you know, like you said, New Albany's on a roll and, you know, Providence, that's a huge win for them. I think, you know, as we mentioned, Josh mentioned in his article, this morning's paper, they beat them 17-6 last year during the regular season. And then Silver Creek got them back in the postseason. So just great little rivalry between those two programs. And, you know, Jeff's on a roll and, you know, getting hitting up and down their lineup, and they got a good outing from a freshman pitcher last night, so that was interesting. And Clarksville, they beat up on Clarksville, but Mr. Walls for Clarksville with he's homered in like four straight games, and Floyd Central's playing well, so yeah, a lot of good times, and a couple Jeff grads, get into college baseball a little bit at Kentucky Wesleyan, played USI last night. Joseph Burke with two home runs.
Wow.
Giving him 36 for his career there in 3 years. And, that's nine on the season for him. And Ian Ellis, another Jeff grad, also homered last night, giving him seven on the season. And he's done it in about 60 less at-bats than Burke. So he's just been on fire. And those two have that team, that offense in particular, on a roll. They beat a real quality USI program last night. USI has a local kid as well worth mentioning, and that's Lucas McNew, a freshman that came into that game hitting .349. So, and that's just a lot of local talent in the college ranks right now. We've written about Drew Campbell at Louisville as well, and they're obviously in the top 10 in the nation right now. So he's having a nice little year too. He's heated up as the year went along. So,
been something interesting every year to follow some of the guys that leave this area and go on to have great college careers. There's no question about that.
Yeah, we've I've been trying to catch up on as many of those as I can. We started a blog online. It's just called the Collegiate Blog. We're trying to track everybody that's whatever the sport throughout the year.
Sure.
We're going to try to keep track of them. And, we're even trying to report on offers for guys like Trey Coleman, got an offer from Ball State recently, and Nan Garcia, who got an offer from the Miami Hurricanes. So that was interesting. And, that's just something we're trying to, keep people up to date on, whether it's a Division I offer or, plans to play Division III ball somewhere or whatever. We're trying to recognize all of our local athletes.
Well, I'm sure that each area of the state or of the country produces a number of college players, but it's hard to believe anybody does more than what we have here. It's just amazing across all levels and all sports, the number of kids that go on to play some sort of college athletics from our immediate area.
It is impressive, yeah. I mean, the spring, and whether it's track and field and baseball and softball, obviously it's a basketball hotbed, and apparently a volleyball hotbed, which I'm going to learn more about in the fall. So, we look forward to catching up with some of those kids as well.
Craig, thanks for being with us. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday edition of the program. Back with you tomorrow, Thursday at 11 o'clock, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.